welcome to another edition of the Security Ledger podcast. I'm your host, Paul Roberts, the editor-in-chief of the Security Ledger. Ransomware was in the news again this week. Greenway Health, an electronic health records and practice management vendor based in Tampa, Florida, revealed that it had been the victim of a criminal ransomware attack that froze customer access to patient data. The firm Recorded Future published a report on a new family of ransomware dubbed Fatboy that dynamically adjusts the ransom demanded of victims based on their location in the world. Residents of wealthier countries are asked to pay more. The 22nd most common form of malware in 2014, ransomware was the fifth most common in 2016, according to Verizon's most recent data breach investigation report, while the firm Symantec has reported in recent weeks that ransomware demand spiked 266% in 2016 with no limit in sight. The average ransom paid per victim grew as well, from $294 in 2015 to more than $1,000 last year. To figure out what's going on, the Security Ledger sat down with two experts to talk about what's driving the rise in the popularity of ransomware and how its spread is impacting not just consumers, but businesses. We talked with two experts, Brian Nesmith, who's the CEO of Arctic Wolf, a firm that sells hosted security services to small and mid-sized businesses. And we also sat down with Lior Div, who's the founder and CEO of the endpoint protection firm Cyber Reason. To start off our conversation, I asked Lior to talk about why ransomware has become so popular among cyber criminals.
The thing is that, as you said, ransomware become a big problem, but I think that while everybody is still talking about it as a technical problem, hey, somebody encrypted my files and this and that, what we realize is that ransomware become a business model for hackers or for criminals in a way that it's phenomenal, and this is something that they know how to monetize to make a lot of money. What does it mean? It means that with the Bitcoin capability of collecting money and the ability of attacking single computer, suddenly when you combine the two of them together, you have a business model that generated in the last year, according to the FBI, more than $1 billion for the criminal. So suddenly when you think about it, it's a phenomenal business model. Hey, it's illegal, but, you know, I'm not sure that it's illegal in other country outside of the U.S.
What are the deficiencies or the gaps in understanding or capability that large and small companies, organizations have that leave them vulnerable to ransomware, successful attacks and compromises?
One is education piece that is simply not there, meaning that a lot of small businesses and individuals learned about ransomware as a problem after they got hit and they paid the price. So the first thing is to basically take this problem and put it out there and educate people that, hey, it can happen to each and every one of us, regardless of, you know, what we have in the environment or not. And if it's a pizza shop or a lawyer shop, and really it doesn't matter what is the size. So this is one. After we are done with the education piece, there is another group of people that really understand that there is a problem, and they believe that the regular antivirus or the thing that they install on their computer is supposed to protect them. And hence, they're feeling that they are safe. Here, there is the second piece of education that basically we're saying, hey, it doesn't matter which kind of mechanism you install, if it's not something that it's tailored to this problem, you can be under attack as well.
Brian Nesmith.
The challenge for a lot of companies is that if you're to ask them broadly, how strongly do they feel that they're protected? And most organizations, I say, it's overconfidence is their enemy, is that the reality is even a fairly well-designed network can still be penetrated. And you need to build in capabilities to recognize compromises in a timely way so that you don't go beyond maybe a single system and getting an entire part of your organization compromised in that environment. So not so much a vertical focus as it is a recognition that dealing with these types of challenges is just it's a way of life. You're never going to completely protect yourself from it. You've got to build detection and response capabilities that allow you to recognize it in a timely way and make sure it doesn't, you know, cause damage more than just a single system might be affected in this environment.
Most people, I think, who would listen to this might say, well, I would imagine that antivirus software, if it was installed, would stop ransomware. Why does that not happen? Where is the gap there?
So what's happening with the ransomware specifically, and this is something that we see in the hacking industry in the past few years, is the fact that hackers keep morphing their tools on and on and on, meaning that the same type of tool that attacking you or me, it will be tailored and different and not going to have the same signature as it used to be. So suddenly, if you're trying to look for signature, it's going to fail. More than that, hackers become very sophisticated in the way that they're encrypting the file. So if you're just looking for a software that encrypts file on a machine, suddenly you realize, hey, that there is a lot of other software that encrypt files that they are not ransomware. So suddenly it's become very, very problematic to distinguish between a regular software that software job is to basically backup files or do something with the files versus a malicious ransom.
Typically, when you're seeing these in organizations, are these generally smaller organizations who are being hit with these, or is there a particular type of organization who's particularly vulnerable to these types of attacks?
I wish that I could say that we see a very specific segment or type, but by now, I'll give you a few examples. By now, we have more than 200,000 people using the free ransomware, and we identified everything from a single person that is like really not interesting and like regular human being that have a computer, all the way to hospitals that were under attack, and in between mom and pop shop, regular businesses that really unrelated to cyber or anything sophisticated. Simply, you know, think about it. Instead of somebody going into their shop with a gun and saying, give me all your money, they're doing it with software, and there is no kind of discrimination between one to another. If you have a computer and you can pay, you can be under attack with ransomware.
Brian, thoughts on that?
So I broadly break out the ransomware problem for smaller companies into two categories. One is what I would call just the organization that builds ransomware and sprays it out, and anybody that picks it up, they'll deal with it. And then the second category is the more what I would call targeted ransomware attack, where they pick out an organization, they specifically want to go at that organization to try to compromise them. And we've seen the first category has continued to grow. Organizations deal with it to various degrees, but we're also seeing a growth in, I'd say, the second type of attack, where somebody targets you, not necessarily because they dislike you, but they see, oh, this is a ripe opportunity for me to make money. And the ransomware is, in the end, really that. It's an extortion game, which is I'm going to somehow compromise you, and then I'm going to do what I can to get you to pay. And I do a little bit of work to make sure I understand the dynamics with that. And so we're seeing a lot more of that kind of really targeted attacks and growing, especially in a lot of mid-market and small businesses.
So in other words, doing a little bit of research on this is the type of company it is, here's what types of infrastructure they have deployed, and here's where they're really going to be screaming uncle if we take down these systems.
That's right. And even adding, understanding who the people are, what the organization is, and understanding every aspect of it so that if I'm going to get a compromise, I hope to get paid. That's in the end, the ransomware goal is to get paid. And that's really, I would say, one of the bigger things we've seen is that growth of those types of targeted attacks.
The focus often with ransomware is to pay or not to pay. Are you seeing any trends there? I know Symantec recently came out with a study that suggested that ransoms were going up, that Americans were more likely to pay than people in other countries. Any insights on that, whether generally more people are paying or not paying, and also is paying worthwhile?
We have seen. I don't know if we're statistically valid, but we have seen, a reasonable percentage. I think, half the time where people did have a problem and it was not a reportable event. So it's happening a fair amount. As far as how much it's happening in our customer base, we see it a little bit here and there, but the customers that we deal with, we have less than a 5-minute response time for recognizing ransomware, and then a lot of cases even blocking the download of the keys or the encryption mechanism, so that, yeah, you see the initial infiltration, but they're never able to complete the encryption of the target system because we stop that from happening. And so our customers, I think, experience a much lower issue of having to deal with and pay with that. Generally, if it gets to the point where you pay, you usually get things decrypted. So it's the motivation of the people that do this is they want to feel, people want to feel like if they make that payment, they're going to get their data back, and that does exist. And generally speaking, I've seen almost all the cases I've noticed, they pay the ransom and they got their data back.
Lior, thoughts on that?
It's very simple. First, we saw the criminal adjusting the price to be a much more reasonable price, meaning at the beginning it was like tens of hundreds of dollars. Right now the range is between $300 to $500 per computer. So they adjust the price. They adjust the price to the U.S. specifically, and that's the reason that a lot of people are paying, because it's become a price that people can pay, although it's still like high, but it's reasonable. And that's the reason that I refer to ransomware not to be a cybersecurity problem. It's actually a business model that hackers are changing and morphing and testing and adjusting the price to be a price that people will pay. And this is the reason that we see more and more people paying the price. On top of that, I don't know if you are familiar with this, but part of the evolution of ransomware as a business model, suddenly there is a support center that with some of the groups that are attacking, you can actually call them and speak with somebody and say, hey, I don't know how to pay with rent with the Bitcoin, and they will explain to you how to use and install wallet of Bitcoin in order to pay to them. So suddenly the combination of price that becoming a little bit lower and more reasonable, and with the support that hackers are giving to the customers, and it's like it sounds silly, but they are attacking you and you become their customer. Those two combined together become like a very successful, again, business model that make people pay instead of trying to fight with the problem.
It really is ironic. I mean, it looks in many ways like other types of software businesses. It's just that it is criminal.
Yeah. And to be honest, they're doing a great job. They generated $1 billion in the past year. So it's a criminal, unfair business, but it's a business like any other business.
Companies often don't know where to go when these things happen. They don't feel comfortable, or they don't feel like they're going to get help going to local law enforcement. Any recommendations there if they don't have a trusted vendor to rely on? And, you know, what do you do? Who do you contact?
I think in the end, if you don't have the expertise, you're going to have to bring in an outside party. So there are a variety of different organizations, consulting firms that can help you in that regard. But I think you don't have a choice, because if you are infected, even if you pay the ransom, you have to go the extra step to ensure that, yeah, you paid the ransom and got your data back, but is your network still compromised? You know, are they maybe exfiltrating data? Are they doing something else? Ransomware is you know, one benefit of ransomware is it makes itself, you're aware of it, where a lot of other types of breaches, the continuing theft of your data, the continuing compromise of your infrastructure, your business continues to run, but you're actually exposing your organization. So if you get ransomware, I think you need to recognize that you have to do a thorough review of what's going on in your infrastructure and make sure that you're not continuing to be exposed, not just from ransomware, but from other aspects of breaches and compromise of data.
Lior, with Secure Boston, you're working with the Anti-Defamation League as a client, as well as others. Are nonprofits or governments, or are they particularly vulnerable to this?
Yeah, definitely, because this is kind of a sweet spot that they don't have the money to protect themselves, in a very sophisticated manner in one way. And on the other hand, those groups are very, very visible. So suddenly to attack them, it becomes something that is relatively more easy. And that's part of the reason that we started with them. And we decided to basically help them to protect themselves and then spread the word.
Okay, so the link, if you want to participate in this ransom-free program, Lior, ransomfree.cyberreason.com is the URL.
Yep.
Great. Thank you for coming on and talking on the Security Ledger podcast. We love having you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Brian Nesmith. He's the CEO of the firm Arctic Wolf, and Lior Div, founder and CEO of the firm Cyber Reason.